You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. This is National Suicide Prevention Month in the United States, and in California, suicide rates are highest in the rural counties. Over the past 6 months, CAP Radio's healthcare reporter Sammy Kayola has been exploring this issue in Amador County, which is a small community area about an hour east of the state capital. She talked with people who lost loved ones to suicide or people who had been on the verge of it themselves. The first episode is available now for download, but we're going to share that full episode with you at this moment in this hour. Here's Sammy reporting from Amador County.
The road to Ashley Moore's house in Amador County weaves past swaths of brown grassland peppered with oak trees. I drive slowly up the hill, passing a steel supply store, a feed barn, and the occasional ranch. She's 25 minutes from the nearest real town, but the zigs and zags make it feel like a longer journey.
Turn left onto Kern Road.
She's waiting for me in front of her beige one-story.
Hey, come on over here.
She sets up her 4-year-old daughter, Mia, with a video about horses.
They're rolling and they're getting dirty.
Then she leads me into the backyard.
We're building chicken tractors. We got the awning and the gazebo up, but everything's still like 27 projects here, 27 projects there.
Ashley is 35, and she spends most of her days up in these hills. She's a t-shirt and ponytail kind of mom, always ready to quash a tantrum or catch a runaway chicken. She grew up near here, and she used to be a paramedic. She says she was on top of things. But when Mia was born, life became a struggle.
Came home and everything was just fine and got back to the work grind. And that's when things started to get hard, was going back to work after having a baby. Being away, long hours, stressful job, and no time for yourself.
Ashley says she let this stress build and build until she just cracked.
We knew something was wrong with me because I had started to get violent. Just fly off the handle for no reason. I was crying a lot about everything. Things would just set me off. Things that were totally normal, silly, stupid life things. And I would just nut up, like screaming, yelling.
This was new territory for Ashley. She felt like she wasn't in charge of her own brain anymore. And then the suicidal thoughts began creeping in.
You just think everyone's better without you. You think it's easier for everybody else. But you know that's not true. Like, you say it out loud and you're like, you sound ridiculous. But on the inside, you're just like, I'm hurting everybody. I just tried to tough it out, you know, I tried to hang in there.
Tough it out. It's sort of a mantra in Amador County, a rural community southeast of Sacramento. It's a former gold mining town that gathers around high school sports teams and pancake breakfasts. About 80% of residents are white. More than 10% are veterans. The quiet, rolling hillsides draw in lots of retirees. On Main Street in Jackson, the largest town in the area, old-timey music pours out over the toy stores, ice cream parlors, and knick-knack emporiums. A banner strung between telephone poles advertises a shooting competition. This place seems frozen in the past. A lot of people say that's what makes it so pleasant. But some residents say the town is in denial.
Suicide is kept quiet. And the feelings of suicide are kept quiet for the most part. And the silence prevents anybody from knowing.
You have a community, I think, that does not understand mental health.
They did feel sort of shameful. Nobody ever really dealt with it. And people just sort of went on, you know.
They want it to stay exactly like it did the last 100 years, and the rest of the nation is moving on.
And that ties into the whole suicide thing. They're burying it.
The whole suicide thing. The S word everyone knows about, but no one wants to discuss. Amador has the third highest suicide rate of any county in California. It's nearly 3 times higher than the state average. All of the top-ranking counties are rural. This lines up with a trend experts are seeing across the nation. small, impoverished places with slim mental health resources, transportation barriers, lots of substance abuse, and a culture of silence are becoming breeding grounds for suicide. No one's immune. Suicide affects lonely seniors, frustrated teens, grieving parents, and concerned neighbors. And there's a stigma. It's a small place, and some residents call it a gossip mill. If you park at the health clinic in Jackson, the odds are high that you'll run into a neighbor headed to the grocery store. So it's no wonder people in crisis aren't reaching out for help. Ashley didn't want anyone to know about her breakdown.
I always thought that if people took antidepressants or wanted to hurt themselves, that they just weren't strong-minded. They weren't strong-willed. I used to think, like, you don't need that. Just get over it. Just be okay. Just don't be sad. People just don't want to believe that people can have mental health problems, or, oh, it couldn't be her, or, you know, or it couldn't be him, but it can. And people are good at hiding it. I was good at hiding it for a long time. I don't think if I would have had the support at home, I don't know how people make it. They don't. That's the problem. They give up.
She was almost one of those people.
Mia was somewhere. I think she was at her grandma's or something. And I just was going crazy, like just the total suicidal thoughts. But I didn't want to hurt myself. But it just kept, you know, how I was saying that. It'll just be easier. They'll be fine. It'll be hard at first for everybody, but then in the long run, they'll be better without me. Like, they'll get over it. They'll be fine. And finally, I just thought, I got to get out of here. I can't be alone. I got in the car and I drove to my old work, to my friend. And it took everything I had. Every time I would go by a telephone pole, I would literally have to say to myself, don't drive into it. Don't stay on the road. Just keep going. You just got to make it to Jackson. Just make it to Jackson. Having to fight your brain like that, I mean, it's just, it is not okay. One car or one telephone pole of not being strong, I would have done it. I would have done it.
Being strong is hard. Not everyone can stay above water. Sometimes they need a lifeboat. There's a growing coalition of people in Amador County trying to give them one. They've almost all lost someone to suicide or been on the verge of it themselves. Like we said, Amador is third in the state for suicide. It only trails Sierra and Mariposa, two other tiny Northern California communities. State data experts warn that these rates are not exact, because the actual number of suicides is pretty small. In Amador County, 85 people took their lives between 2010 and 2017, according to data from the local health department. Nearly 90% of people who killed themselves were men. Most were between age 40 and 70. More than a quarter were veterans. Less than 10% were inmates at the nearby Mule Creek State Prison. That small-town stigma we talked about can make people reluctant to seek help. If and when they do reach out, they're likely to hit another wall, finding treatment. Ashley's journey to recovery has been long and slow. Even after she worked up the guts to call around to doctor's offices, she was repeatedly turned down by therapists who were overbooked.
I left and just thought, that's it. Nobody cares. Nobody's going to help me. Like this is just, was a huge awakening to me that when you ask for help, people don't give it until it gets bad.
She eventually found a provider in Sacramento, and she says it's helping a lot. But not everyone can make the drive. The county hired a psychiatrist this summer, after more than a year of struggling to recruit someone, even after raising the salary again and again. So there's the one psychiatrist now, but her services are only for people on Medi-Cal. Bob Hartman was the county public health officer for 16 years. Now he works at the hospital and tries to teach doctors how to ask patients about mental illness.
I think we sort of panic when we have to try to find a psychiatrist for our patients. It's just a very, very difficult thing to do. And just feel really badly for the patients that there are not enough resources.
When people in crisis show up in the emergency room, they don't get transferred to a psych bed or a specialized institution the way they do in cities. At least, not quickly. ER staff told me they hold people for up to 7 days, often consulting with psychiatrists through video to figure out how to prescribe medication. They make calls until they find the patient a psych bed in Sacramento, Elk Grove, or the Bay Area, or wherever there's an opening. For people who are already reluctant to see a therapist, the thought of being sent to a faraway facility or having to drive an hour can be an insurmountable barrier. There's a saying in the mental health world, helplessness begets hopelessness. People don't see solutions, they stop trying. When someone loses their will to live and starts contemplating taking their own life, they're in what doctors call a suicidal crisis. It's considered a medical emergency, and it's probably what Ashley was going through that day in her car. If that person is anywhere near a firearm, that danger becomes critical. Guns are just part of the culture in Amador. Remember that shooting competition that they were advertising on Jackson's Main Street? I checked it out. They're used for sport or to guard cattle, and they're the method of choice for more than half of the county's suicides. Veronica Pear is a researcher at UC Davis. She's been looking at the way guns are used in urban versus rural places.
On average, rural areas had 3 times higher rates of firearm suicide than metropolitan areas. But when we looked at homicide, there was really no difference.
A group called the Gunshot Project wants to bring information about suicide prevention to stores that sell firearms in rural areas. They've already started in Shasta and Solano counties, and they've got Amador and Calaveras on the list. They want gun enthusiasts to learn about suicide risk and look out for each other. Garen Wintemute, also of UC Davis, says friends and family can actually intervene if they feel someone isn't stable enough to hold on to a firearm.
A gun dealer actually put it better than I think anybody else has. He said, basically, the idea is, Bob, how about I babysit your guns for a while? That's the idea. It would be done voluntarily, I suspect, in most cases, and ideally. But there are times when an individual is in serious crisis and doesn't recognize it.
Amador County is distributing free gun locks at suicide awareness events this fall. Ashley Moore says after her breakdown, she asked her husband to change the code on their gun safe. She tells me about it at a coffee shop in Ione.
I knew that if I wasn't in my right mind when I was having a dark day, if I had access to one, I'd probably use it, or I'd be more likely to use it. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to die. I just don't want to feel like this anymore. So that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to figure out how to live a life that allows me to feel better and not feel like this. And it's just going to take time, you know? It sucks because I feel like this happened to me overnight, but it's not getting fixed overnight.
Activists in Amador County say it's important for friends and family to listen to people and have the suicide hotline number ready. But they also need to be vigilant about looking for red flags. That's Trixie Smith's MO. She's a single mom in her 50s, a former drug abuser turned peer support specialist. I walk up the stairs of her building, past a wind chime and a collection of rocks and cacti. She's got a bright green ribbon pinned to her shirt. It says, "Know the Signs." A row of rubber bracelets on her arm makes a sort of half sleeve. She starts telling me about a friend.
I tried to help him, and in the 5 months that I knew him, we became very close. He was like a brother to me and sometimes like one of my own children. And we just tried to give him as much support and love that we could because I knew that he was very, very depressed. And I was trying to help him get his appointments lined up for behavioral health, but he was in somewhat of denial that he really had mental illness.
She met him while volunteering at a wellness center, and she just kept following up. She didn't think he'd do anything drastic.
He would constantly say, "You don't ever have to worry about me taking my life because I'm too afraid. I'm a coward, I couldn't do it." And I believed that. So it was very, very shocking when I found that he did.
So that's why she wears the bright green ribbon, to let people know she's ready to talk.
And that opens up a dialogue. And then they might say, oh, well, I know I have a friend, or, you know, I'm going through this, or I have been going through that. And I think if we just can talk about it, people are afraid to talk about it. But if you make yourself available and let people know that you're willing to talk, they will.
So what are the signs? If someone talks about wanting to die, feels hopeless or trapped, or says they're in pain, if they're withdrawing or feeling isolated, sleeping too much or too little, these are some of the red flags. Ashley Moore says she's done hiding her mental illness. She still hasn't told all of her old coworkers, but she thinks she might be ready to soon.
Talking does make you feel better, even if people don't say anything. It's just the stigma of it that makes it hard. But I'm past that now. I don't care what people think. I don't care what people say. Like, I joke about it, you know, like, yep, went a little cuckoo, but, you know, a lot of people aren't lucky. A lot of people don't get the help. A lot of people don't make it out alive. And I'm glad that I have.
She still has bad days, but she has good days too. We're back at her place, spending some time with her chickens.
I got those chickens when all this stuff started, and as silly as that sounds, going out there and just talking to chickens is very therapeutic for me. They're simple little, they just want attention and food, and they don't care about anything else.
Out front, Mia is playing with some sort of wind-up ladybug. I ask what its name is.
Aisha. And it was her birthday this morning. So she loses a tooth right there, but this is a tooth.
Ashley is watching closely. She's wondering what the next few months will bring and envisioning the future she's fighting for.
I just have to look at the bright side of things every day. Like, try to... I just like to think that it won't be like this forever. Boy, I hope. I want to see my kids grow up. I want to see them get married. I'd like to be the grandma that spoils them and sends them back home to their mom and dad. But it's hard to see that far. But man, I want to make it there.
I leave Ashley in her driveway, pretty sure she's going to be okay, and hoping she doesn't make another reckless drive down the long and windy hills back to town.
That's Sammy Kaola reporting on suicide in rural Amador County, California. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 800-273-8255. Again, that number is 800-273-8255. This is National Suicide Prevention Week in the U.S., and we have a list of resources. If you're interested, they're on our website at capradio.org. Cap Radio's healthcare reporter Sammy Kaola spent the past 6 months exploring the high rate of suicide in rural California. We just listened to her first episode, which focused on Amador County. Sammy's with me now in the studio. Thank you for this powerful piece of work that you've done. It's interesting in that first episode, Sammy, some of the things that are noted, which is that in a rural community, there aren't a lot of resources. There can be significant substance abuse, there's silence, and those small town dynamics. And you'd think that knowing people and having people close to you would help, but it can be the flip side too.
Yeah, it was a really interesting period for me as I kept returning to these communities and speaking with people who seem to never, they've never spoken about mental illness before. You know, people who have lived with suicidal thoughts or attempted or you know, struggled with this for years silently, you know, because it's just not talked about there. People don't know how to broach the subject. They're not comfortable saying, hey, I've seen your behavior change. Are you all right? You know, there's this kind of misperception around, you know, if you're depressed, that you're, you know, you're doing something wrong, that you're lazy, or that you're not, you know, meeting expectations, or that, you know, only crazy people commit suicide or die by suicide. And so those are some of just the misperceptions that float around in these types of rural communities. And so for me to go there and try to get people to open up about something that's been so taboo for so long, it took time for people to do that. But I really think it was enlightening for their friends and family.
Ashley was brave. She will probably be looked at in awe a bit in her community. But as she said at the end, she seems finally willing to really confront it publicly. I think she said, "I don't care. I'm finally at that point," which to me sounds like there's some ego strength there and that she has some coping strategies that she probably wouldn't have been able to articulate a year ago.
Yeah, it's something she's really worked on, is getting to a place with herself where, you know, she has a safety plan. She has communicated with her family and her friends that when X happens, I'm going to call you and can you do this for me? And that really is a support system that you need when you're in a situation like that. But it takes being willing to tell your story to the people around you. So, no, it was really brave of her.
You adjusted your words just a moment ago, and that's a good prompt for me to bring up the language of talking about suicide. And how has that changed? How are we different now about the words that we choose and use?
Yeah, so that has been a big shift. And as I've been writing, I've been really careful about language. There are a lot of suicide prevention organizations that have guidelines for this. And so you are not to say commit suicide because it implies that something criminal has happened. It puts blame or fault on the person who is struggling, whereas we're really starting to see it as a public health issue, as something that in about half of cases, people who die by suicide have a diagnosed mental illness, which can include just depression or anxiety, you know, things you wouldn't necessarily think of as a mental illness, but they are. And then the other half of people haven't been diagnosed. And so it's looking at suicide as really a cry for help for much, much deeper issues that need treatment, that need mental health treatment.
So the phrase you just used is more appropriate,
died by suicide,
or took
his or her own life. Yeah, so just not to use the word commit and not to describe any suicide in great detail, just graphics, because there's a lot of concern about copycat effect or suicide contagion. You don't want to sensationalize or glorify this. You want to treat it really as a health issue, as a really factual incident.
You talked about the highest rates in California counties being Sierra County, Mariposa, and then Amador. Is there anything else to say about why the rates are so high in rural areas, besides what we've already touched on?
Right. So we talked about this culture of silence, this fear that's big, really just resource deficiency. You know, you're dealing with places that just don't have a lot of money to go around, and the counties are, you know, sort of strapped for what they can do for mental health services. And it's very hard to recruit physicians and therapists and psychologists, psychiatrists to these areas. So, you know, you get a lot of situations where, you know, Amador is an hour's drive from here, a little over an hour, but that's to Jackson, that's to the center of town. Then you've got these people who live up in the hills, and not all of them can drive. So
and
I think this, you'd see this in a lot of rural counties, it's just really hard to get to services. So even when someone says, "Okay, I have this problem. I want help. I want to change my life," you know, sometimes you just can't get there. So that I think is a big contributor.
You noted that the rates are higher for men, and I think that goes across all suicide statistics. And in that category of men and suicide, again, that phrase coping strategies. And how it is for men to take on or learn coping strategies, and the ability or inability, I should say, to ask for help or to ask for treatment. Anything else to talk about in that subject?
Yeah, you know, just from what I've learned from mental health activists in the area, men are even harder to reach because they tend to sort of put up walls. They have kind of a macho persona that they're trying to meet, and they associate being depressed or being stressed out or having any sort of mental health challenge as a sign of weakness. And so they don't want to reach out. They want to look strong and be the men for their families and their communities, which I think In Amador particularly, there's, you know, there's a lot of pride in that community, you know, a lot of sports, a lot of faith-based organizations, sort of patriotic values. And so I think it does make it harder for men to step out and say that they're struggling.
I'm talking with Cap Radio's healthcare reporter, Sammy Kayola, about her four-part series airing this week on rural suicide. There are some other stories that are not included in the audio episodes, but I want to make sure people find them.
Yeah, so we have a lot of different topics that we're covering just online. So it's capradio.org/rural suicide. There were certain subcommunities in Amador County that we wanted to make sure we covered. The Native American community has their own trauma, historic trauma that they're dealing with, and that contributes to their suicide risk. There are veterans who have, similar to what I was saying about the men, they have sort of a built-up you know, struggle with asking for help. They don't want to appear weak. So in veterans, there's a lot of veterans in Amador County. Their stories are online. There have also been two pretty high-profile murder-suicides in Amador County in the last 5 months. One was just earlier this month. And so I talked to some experts about why does murder-suicide happen? It's a little bit different. It's not so much from a place of sorrow or severe distress the way that depression, that suicide is. It's more anger and power dynamics, and it's usually part of a domestic violence situation or, you know, two partners where one partner is unhappy. So we kind of broke that down.
With that, I should note the inclusion of suicide in many of the national gun death statistics or gun violence statistics that we see. And I know from the response that we get from families, this can be a very challenging and difficult aspect to report. I'm not sure how you handled it in the subsequent episodes, but guns are almost always included in a broader conversation about suicide.
Yeah, it's certainly part of the equation. And when I broke down Amador County suicide deaths, I was actually able to look at them by method used. And more than half, about I think about 55% of the suicides in Amador were by firearm. And so it's a big factor. You know, a lot of people just have firearms because they use them, you know, for sport or for protection. And so if there's someone who's in a mental health crisis in the household and knows that there's a gun, it really does increase their risk. And so, you know, it's certainly part of the conversation. I know that there are activists who are trying to get gun shop owners to talk to people about mental health, because no shop owner wants to be the person that sells a gun that's used for a suicide. So, you know, I think it's something where, you know, all the parties in these rural areas have to work together on that issue.
Before I let you go, what prompted the reporting? What question were you asking yourself?
Yeah, so we actually have our managing editor, Linnea Edmeyer, lives in Amador County, has for many years, is raising her kids there. And she had noticed a lot of people dying by suicide, and she had noticed that it didn't get talked about a lot. And so she just asked me to look into it and find out if it happened more there than in other places. And, you know, third highest in the state. So it turned out it did. And then I just wanted to know just why. You know, what was going on here. And so I applied actually with the University of Southern California. They gave us a grant to support this work and started getting into the community.
Well, it's one thing to do the reporting, but it's dependent on people being willing to talk. And that's what we're going to hear this week. And I think that's so powerful for people everywhere. Secondarily to that is the list of resources. So we should again give the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. And
yeah.
That is, yeah. Do you have that? I do,
I have it right here in my pocket. No, it is 1-800-273-8255. Again, 1-800-273-8255. And at capradio.org/rural suicide, you can find a list of both national resources and local resources. Some are hotlines, some are support groups. And you can find our next couple of long-form audio features. You know, there's one about teenagers and how to look for warning signs. There's one about seniors and loneliness as a health issue. And just one about solutions, about how to fix this.
Well, knowing as many of us do that often there aren't warning signs. Often it's such a complete surprise. I think the conversation, the discussion, the public openness that is coming out of this series could save a life, could save more than one life. So, Sammy, thanks again so much.
Thanks for having me, Beth.
That is Cap Radio's healthcare reporter, Sammy Kaola. And again, the stories are at capradio.org, and you're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.